Welcome. I'm Victoria Schneps, president of Schneps Media, and today delighted to have my power woman, and a truly power woman she is, Gwen O'Shea, who is both the president and the CEO of the Community Development Corporation of Long Island. She oversees the 54-year-old regional nonprofit and three nonprofit affiliates and numerous for-profit subsidiaries. And, you know, it's over $31 million in assets with a budget of $35 million. You know, it's really a huge responsibility, but it's all around housing. And I'm so thrilled because this is one of the issues that's on really everybody's mind today, is dealing with housing and how we can strengthen our communities and keep our loved ones here. So welcome, Gwen. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. It's so great to be with you on this beautiful sunny day. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk with you today.
Well, you know, Gwen, I know that you have created such an impactful organization, but I always believe it starts somewhere. To become a CEO is not an easy thing. It's the top of the tree. Okay. And sometimes on the top of the tree, you know, it filters, it shifts. But how did you build your business acumen to be a CEO?
That's a really good question. I mean, I like that analogy, right? Because at the top of the tree, sometimes you definitely feel the breeze and the sway a lot more potentially than other individuals. And usually, you know, there's a certain level of, I don't want to say loneliness, but responsibility, right? Being sort of at that space. You know, I think it's a really great question. And I think about that often, how I got here, which is a position and a role that I every day am grateful to come to work and be able to do the amazing work that our team does with the support of our fantastic board. I think a lot, you know, it all goes back to, you know, who we were as kids, right? And so much of that we carry with us. And I think for me, I was raised on Long Island. I was unbelievably sort of given privilege, unearned privilege, really. I was raised in a very working class family here on Long Island. And my parents had opportunities that if they were in today's environment, they probably wouldn't have, right? We know today the average home cost is close to $800,000, and a household needs to be making over $250,000 a year to cover the mortgage cost, which is not what the majority of Long Islanders are making, right? So I grew up in a household with my father was a New York City police officer, and my mother worked in a doctor's office. I'm the youngest of three. 5 years difference between my sister and I, 7 years difference between my brother and I. So they were tight. I had to learn how to stand up for myself, hold my feet on the ground, and be able to navigate with two older siblings. And as they got a little bit older and went into high school and college, I almost sort of transitioned into being an only child and really had to figure out not only how to fend for myself with siblings, but, you know, how to entertain myself, looking into new things, becoming very inquisitive and engaged with lots of different groups of people, and having throughout that process as a kid, you know, my parents, again, very fortunate from a working class family to be able to go to college. My parents put three kids through college, and those were the opportunities and foundations that everyone is deserving of and needs. But at the crux of it, I had housing stability. I had home stability. I always had a place to go home to. And I truly believe, and that really inspires my work on a daily basis, that having that sanctuary and that stability of home is critical to allowing an individual to be successful. Because without that, there's no foundation, and it leads to so many challenges like financial stressors, mental health stressors, physical stressors. I believe every Long Islander should have that same stability that I had growing up that has led me into this position today.
Well, you know, I know that you went to school over in University of Massachusetts at Amherst, but I was fascinated that you got your master's degree at Milano School of International Affairs. Tell me your college, your education journey.
So again, super, super grateful and privileged to be able to go to college for 4 years, and that my parents were able to support that journey for me. I went to school as a pre-med. I entered University of Massachusetts at pre-med and quickly took some classes in cultural anthropology and decided that I wanted to change my major. And in doing so, had the opportunity to travel abroad. And so I was able to live in Siena in Italy for 6 months and stayed and traveled for a while. And, you know, a couple of pieces that really resonated with me while there, I went to a school for foreigners. And so the only commonality amongst all of us was that we spoke Italian. but no one that was in that school, was born and raised speaking Italian. So it was wonderful to speak Italian with individuals from Korea, from China, from Brazil, really become friends with so many different individuals and see that beauty in diversity. But also while there, we had a great home that we were able to live in and invite people over. And just again, seeing the great beauty and overall benefit that comes from diversity, arts, culture, engagement. And in many ways, when I graduated from college, I actually left Long Island, moved out to California, then moved back into New York City, looking for that kind of diversity and sense of community that I think for a long time has been missing from a lot of the areas on Long Island. And that's why we see a lot of 20 and 30 and 40-year-olds decide to relocate because we don't have that sense of community. And we've seen that shift, though. I think over the past decade, when you look at communities like Huntington and Patchogue and Farmingdale, more of that's happening in areas like, Riverhead and Bayshore. And so it's really wonderful to see that sense of community being rebuilt and revitalized on Long Island.
Sounds like you came back to your roots after your great adventure in Europe and in Italy. My son was in Florence for his studies in college. I was very blessed to go and have to visit him, of course.
Of course.
Exploring Florence and the art and the world of that culture is spectacular. But you did come home, and your journey into this housing world, how did that happen?
So you're right. I came back to Long Island again, being one of those individuals that said, I would never be here. And here I am, proud to be living and working on Long Island. I started off working a couple of different organizations, one related to really children's health and children's health care, and then moving into the Health and Welfare Council, which is an advocacy organization for health and human service providers here on Long Island, touching health care, touching housing, touching nutrition, immigration services, and disaster preparedness. And it was really after Superstorm Sandy, our organization with key partners like American Red Cross and United Way of Long Island, we're working very closely in the recovery effort. As you know, Sandy hit the South Shore, had a tremendous impact, and at the crux of that was the impact it had on our housing structure. And that disaster, which we already knew, really pulled back the curtains on the lack of housing inventory that we had and the instability in the housing stock that we currently had. And so our work around recovery really required us to connect with leaders in the space of housing and of community development. And at that point in time, Mary Ann Garvin was leading Community Development Corporation of Long Island, and she joined us on the executive committee to really help lead just based on her extensive knowledge and understanding of housing and housing development on the housing recovery side. And so as we got to know each other, Mary Ann invited me to sit on the board. She at that time, and still we still have a tremendous engaged, educated, just innovative board of Long Island leaders. It was a privilege to be asked and to join that group of individuals. And shortly after I joined, just a couple of years after I joined, she announced that she was retiring. I thought, wow, what a huge, tremendous opportunity. I would love it, but I don't think that I can do it. A couple of colleagues in the field and some board members, said, you should really throw your hat in the ring. And so after conversations with a lot of folks that I admire and I respect, it seemed like a great opportunity I was willing to take and wanted to take. And thankfully, after a very rigorous process, the board elected me to the role, and I've been serving here since March of 2017.
Oh, wow. So you really have gotten this into your blood, because I know when you get to the top ranks, you have to live and breathe the world you're in.
Absolutely.
So tell me today about your priorities and who you're helping, because you seem to be involved in, it's almost like an octopus of housing, of your
That's a
tentacles
really good
involved in many
description.
different, right,
I like
parts of
that.
the housing world.
Community development in Long Island is all things home. I know everyone is talking about the rising costs of living in general, no matter what income you're at. I was talking to somebody the other day, does very well, a professional in the field, and they said, I know we have a housing crisis. There is a housing crisis at every income level right now here on Long Island. And clearly that resonates with what we do. We are all things home and really looking at how do we not only maintain, rehab, and sustain the housing that we have, but create new opportunities in housing, recognizing the topography, the geography on Long Island, and the different needs that individuals have, whether it's, you know, looking for a condo, looking for a rental property, making sure, again, it makes sense from a financial perspective. So many individuals want to have walkability. They want to be part of a community. They want to support small businesses. And our focus is on that. How do we work with communities, elected officials, and governments to think through the opportunities that are currently available, and then really work with individuals on a one-on-one level to understand the financial components to be able to attain whatever the housing aspirations are that they have, if that's home ownership, if that's a rental property. And so we do financial coaching, we do counseling, we build credit, we do lending, we provide capital to individuals, to real estate developments, and really want to see, like I said, housing stock maintained, but also new opportunities creative and thinking innovatively, which is why I really appreciate the acknowledgement of the work on the East End, because the East End communities have collectively recognized the dire housing crisis that they have. And the passage of the Community Housing Fund, which puts a small portion of real estate tax into a fund to help finance, create, and sustain new affordable housing opportunities, whether that's rental or home ownership. We're really proud to be playing a role in bringing that to life.
Based on what you're saying, how would somebody reach out to you? How do they find the help? Where is the, is there a website they can go to or some way of reaching out to you? And who would be the right client, so to speak, of your, you know, corporation?
Absolutely. Great question. And thanks for the opportunity to highlight that individuals can access all of our different lines of business, our portfolios, our opportunities at cdli.org. And we work with, quite frankly, everyone on Long Island. Individuals thinking about home ownership, someone maybe that just graduated from college, got a new job, you know, is living in their parents' basement and, you know, aspires to have their own property, whether that be a rental property or something that they purchase, they should be reaching out to us so we can help them walk through and plan what makes the most sense for them based on their own goals. You know, if there's a municipality that's interested in figuring out how to create new development, how to become a pro housing community, they can reach out to us. We have a zoning atlas tool that we've created in partnership with CUNY. It's called the Long Island Zoning Atlas. Tremendous information there available for developers, for architects, for individuals looking in creating new housing opportunities within their municipal footprint. Developers that are looking for capital, individuals looking for capital to create a new home. We are all things home. And so I certainly encourage all individuals that are thinking about aspiring and want to be part of new home opportunities, whether for themselves or their community, that they check out our website and they reach out, because there's a role for everybody to play with our organization.
Well, say the website again.
That is www.cdli.org.
CDL.org. Well, you know, it seems to me that you, with all due respect, having a roof over your head is such a basic need, and I believe a right of every human being. And particularly, we all love Long Island, and to see you being in that world of helping people is extraordinary. We just want to make sure people know about it to be able to reach out to you, as well as the towns. Is there a town that you can give me an example that you have helped in terms of funding for the concept of supporting housing?
Sure. I mean, we're doing right now, we're really excited about some of the work that we're doing with the town of Shelter Island. So there we are helping homeowners who are interested in creating an accessory dwelling unit, thanks to funds that have been provided through New York State Office of Housing and Community Renewal. Homeowners can access $125,000 of grant funding, so it doesn't have to be paid back, to help create a new accessory dwelling unit, either in their home or a standalone property on their property, because the town zoning code does allow for that. It's a great opportunity to put new rental units online. It's a great opportunity for seniors who may be thinking about downsizing but wanting to stay in their community, can move into this accessory dwelling unit and then rent their home and use that rental income to help cover their costs, you know, of daily expenses. So it's a tremendous opportunity to help stabilize homeowners that might be struggling with the high cost of living while also putting additional rental units online. We're also working with the town. We're really excited because of their creation of the Community Housing Fund. They put together a number of parcels that they own and are looking for a opportunity to develop rental properties. And they had put out a request, a proposal, and CDLI was the winning bidder in partnership with Latier and Urban Collaborative and BHC Architects to create, develop, and then maintain those 10 rental units. And that's really because that's something that the town wanted. It was in their community plan, and we really, really feel privileged and grateful to be able to work with them in their goals and their vision of creating and stabilizing housing opportunities for residents of Shelter Island.
Remarkable. Who would think on Shelter Island they need affordable housing, or for housing that's, you know, rental properties, but it's needed everywhere.
It's needed everywhere.
Well, I could see that. So tell me a little bit about what advice would you give others who are in business? Because, you know, I believe if you run a nonprofit, you've got to run it like a business.
Absolutely.
Or it's out of business.
Absolutely.
So what advice would you give to people who want to be successful in their careers? What are there ingredients that you sell have helped you along the way to be able to be as successful you are and as CEO of this major company, the Community Development Corporation?
You know, I think one of the first pieces in terms of creating, maintaining, you know, and sustaining success is having a village that you can lean on and support and can support you, you know, creating a network of individuals, those that have perhaps led the path before you. You know, I think of you are an amazing mentor and just aspiration for so many people in the field looking at the work and what you've accomplished. Having someone like you and others, you know, as part of a network, I think is key. Leaning on individuals for their feedback, their insight, their experiences, others to just, you know, really be a sounding board, contemporaries, because as you mentioned, you know, at the start of it, you know, when you're leading an organization, there's a level of loneliness and responsibility of maintaining many of those challenges to yourself, right? You've got to figure out how to navigate in the challenging, in the good times and the bad times. And so having a network is key, and putting yourself out there to create that network, which, you know, oftentimes takes some risk. Not everyone's comfortable with, you know, walking into a room and starting to connect with people, but reaching outside of your traditional perception, you know, of who are individuals that you can lean on, leaning on those that lead in a cross-section of different professions on the island, I think is really critical when you talk about being able to be effective in your role.
Well, I think, you know, you've given great advice. And I do believe, you know, from the core of me, I started my ultimate networking events because of this idea of bringing people together, stepping in and meeting others outside of your piece of your world.
Absolutely.
So I think that, you know, that's such a critical part of success in life. But, you know, Gwen O'Shea, I'm so proud of you, President and CEO of the Community Development Corporation of Long Island. You are giving back in a most marvelous way and such a needed way, because housing is on top of all of our lists of most important issues before every town. So thank you for being with me today.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Till next time, this is Victoria Schnepp signing off. Our Power Woman today was Gwen O'Shea, and I'm so proud to have had this time with you, Gwen. Thank you.
Thank you.